5 and a 4-3-6. Well done.
Get into the Chiefs like D4.
I want to be a Chief forever.
Hello and welcome to the final edition of this installment of Chiefs Blueprint. I'm your host, Pete Sweeney, and this is Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel. It's been a fun 6 weeks as we've built up to the draft, and now we can take a breath, spend this episode really taking in everything that happened last week.
It's been a long time coming. We covered it here on Chiefs Blueprint. I know, Pete, you and I both covered it at kcchiefs.com, but a lot of time talking about it. It's great that it finally passed, and I know we're both really excited about everything the Chiefs did in this draft, and they really created a lot of competition at areas that I think that they went into the draft knowing they needed to create competition in, and that would be inside linebacker. They had speed at that position with Ramique Wilson from Georgia and then DJ Alexander from Oregon State, and then I really like what they did at defensive back also with Steven Nelson from Oregon State as well, but then the first-round pick, Marcus Peters, obviously. We're going to talk about him in a little bit, but everything that they did was to bolster areas that really needed some young talent. And when you look around the NFL, 68% of the time teams are passing the ball now. You can never have enough good defensive backs, particularly in this division. You look at what the San Diego Chargers have with Phillip Rivers. We know what he has. Obviously, we know what the Denver Broncos have. You look at the Oakland Raiders and their quarterback, Derek Carr. They got him some weapons this offseason. They signed Michael Crabtree. They drafted Amari Cooper. You can never have enough good, solid defensive backs. And then finally, along the offensive line, taking Mitch Morse in the second round, I think was a great pick. You talked to John Dorsey. He was convinced that somebody was going to take Mitch Morse very soon after if we hadn't selected him. He's a versatile, tough, athletic lineman, and that's exactly what he looks for in linemen, guys that can get out in space. When you see all the different things they do with screens and things like that, getting out in space, you need offensive linemen that can move, and Morse is a really good one.
Certainly a variety of moves for the Chiefs. And later on, we're going to take a look at that draft class as a whole. We're going to also see what the experts have to say about the big signing before the draft. That was Jeremy Maclin. Before we get to all of that, though, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, sat down with the first-round pick, Marcus Peters, soon after his arrival in Kansas City. Let's take a look.
Who do you think the Chiefs are going to take here?
Don't get him on the phone.
445.
Turn it back.
Marcus, welcome to the Chiefs Kingdom.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
It is exciting to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
And this team showed some faith in you and picking you.
Yeah.
What was it like when you found out Kansas City Chiefs chose you?
It was breathtaking. You know, the team and organization have gave me the opportunity to reestablish my character. And this gave me the opportunity to come in here and to be an NFL player and to help the team get to the ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl.
Hey, Marcus, John Dorsey, Chiefs.
What was it like when you got the call?
I was back at home at my grandmother's house. We were in the backyard, you know, barbecuing like we always did, listening to music. You know, once I got the call, it's like everything just shut down.
We just want to know, you think you'd come in and help the Kansas City Chiefs to a championship?
Tell everyone it's Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. And everyone just jumped into joy, you know, because now I get to play against the Raiders twice.
He is excited.
It's going to be a little bit of red in the black hole. With my family back at home, you know, so that it's going to be exciting, man.
An Oakland kid playing for the Chiefs. We don't like the Raiders much around here, as you know. But now, representing the Chiefs in the East Bay.
It's football and family for me. Those two things make me click. And the Chiefs are my family. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect and to serve them.
You're going to be coached by not only a Chiefs Ring of Honor and a world champion, but a Pro Football Hall of Famer in Emmett Thomas and Al Harris,
yeah,
who's an all-pro guy. What about being mentored and coached by those two guys?
It's going to be amazing. You know, that's the best opportunity that any rookie can have, going into a room like that with a group of excellent coaches. And to be coached by Hall of Famer, you can't too many say they had that their rookie year, you know. So I'm just going to embrace all opportunities and listen and learn to be a great NFL player. Hopefully someday I can be all pro and Hall of Famer.
You did not finish with the University of Washington team. What has the last several months been like since November the 6th?
I learned from everything, and we leave what happened at UW in the past. I have great amount of respect for Coach Peterson and his organization. I love the University of Washington, you know, and now I'm a part of the Chiefs organization, and we're moving on.
The Arrowhead crowd, I mean, they love defense. They've had great corners, pick sixes.
Yeah.
What about thinking about playing in front of 75 to 78,000 all in red?
it's going to be different. It's going to be different, man. You know, but at the same time, let's do it. I'm here to become a shutdown corner and to help the team win, man. And I'm going to cause some turnovers.
And as he throws it, Peters has a pick.
Let's cause havoc and let's make it hard for anybody to come in the Arrowhead.
BJ, you watched an interview, and it's hard not to feel like you immediately want to pull for that guy. I know you had the opportunity to speak with Marcus as well. What were your first impressions of the cornerback?
Well, I had a chance to be in that room actually when Mitch was interviewing him. It was a great interview and everything they said on camera, but it was really great to see him interact off camera with all the different things that he was going around. He talked to a lot of people when he was going through the building here, and it was great to see the way that he interacted with some of the coaching staff. You know, a lot was made right when he was drafted of Emmett Thomas, the Chiefs defensive backs coach, and the role that he's going to play in developing him. But it's also Al Harris, the assistant defensive backs coach. He was an All-Pro in 2007 himself. And he was known as a bump-and-run press-style corner, which is exactly the mold of Peters, and he's going to be a mentor to this guy throughout his time here in Kansas City. And, you know, watching Peters walk around and interacting with everybody was great. I had a chance to meet his mom. He was a preschool teacher back in West Oakland. And his family, not just his mom, but his dad as well, was a high school coach. He was actually his high school coach back at McClemens. That they've done so much for the West Oakland community. It was one of the things that stood out is the way that he talked about his hometown. But when Mitch brought up, and you saw it there in the interview, when he talked about being from Oakland but coming here to Kansas City, he said it's about family, and his family right now is the Kansas City Chiefs. So obviously that was great to hear.
I mean, you think about it, 18th pick for the Chiefs, and they have said that they felt they got the best corner in the draft. And I know you can be a film junkie, so you've been watching a bit of Peters. What stands out about him that encourages you about the impact that he could have in the future?
Well, he's a defensive playmaker. When you hear that phrase, you're trying to figure out what it means. Well, he had 8 interceptions over the last 2 years at Washington. Only 38% of the passes thrown in his direction were completed. He had 24 passes defensed. But what it means when you're actually watching him specifically is that he loves to get out. We talked about he loves to press. He loves to be up in a receiver's grill, try to disrupt that timing a little bit. And he's very good at recognizing route combinations. I actually talked with him a little bit about that. He said that being the son of a coach, you know, he's been around the game. He understands the game and he loves to study the game. And that shows up when you watch him out on the field. He understands route combinations. He understands what receivers are trying to do to get open. And he understands leverage and where to position his body based on what the defense is trying to do. And that's a lot of that stuff can't be taught. A lot of that's instincts. You see that on tape with him. And then obviously, whenever the ball's in the air, he wants to make a game-changing play, which the Chiefs could use that. Despite allowing just 17.6 points per game last season, second best in the NFL. I mean, this was an elite Chiefs defense, but they still only had 13 takeaways, which was tied for last in the NFL. This is a defensive group that was elite last year, but you add some game-changing plays and some more takeaways, they can get that much better, not to mention the couple of guys they have coming back from injury.
I know that Chiefs Kingdom is going to be eager to see how Peters fits in the defense, and after the break, we'll focus on a guy who'll be lining up against Peters in practice. Don't go away. Well, you've heard John Dorsey this week, and as he said, the draft certainly filled several needs on the Chiefs roster. But we can't forget about one of those needs that was taken care of back in free agency. And I'm talking about wide receiver Jeremy Maclin. Well, it's your training camp this year with some rookies. He'll be able to compliment him on the offense, right?
Yeah, well, we can't get too ahead of ourselves. These rookies have to step on the field and they have to prove they can play at this level. And to do that, the first thing they have to do is learn the playbook, which I'm sure they already have and they're working on that right now. But as far as particular players, James O'Shaughnessy, the tight end out of Illinois State, the Chiefs did a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets last year. Now that Anthony Fasano has moved on, there's a lot of guys there competing for that position. James O'Shaughnessy has now stepped in. It'll be interesting to see how he progresses in that position moving forward. But most importantly for me, it's Chris Conley. And when we talk about Jeremy Maclin, he's the guy that really jumps out to me because we saw what Conley could do at the combine as far as what he is athletically, breaking all kinds of records on vertical jump, broad jump, mid 4.3s on his 40 time. I mean, he is athletically all there. But a guy like Jeremy Maclin can teach him the finer details, the route running, all those kinds of things. And we reached back a few weeks ago on Chiefs Blueprint. We talked with David Coley, and we talked about what Jeremy Maclin can do as far as being a coach on the field. Well, that's exactly what Conley is going to have for him. And I think that's a big part of what Maclin could help us with moving forward.
Amazing to see the benefits that Maclin provides, even besides just himself. And for that reason, the Chiefs are thrilled to have him. And I imagine he's happy to see some of the other new faces that'll be joining him at Arrowhead. Right now, we turn to the experts to get their take on Maclin, what they feel we can expect in 2015.
The comings and goings continue in Philadelphia. Wide receiver Jeremy Maclin has agreed to reunite with his former head coach, Andy Reid, in Kansas City.
First off, I want to welcome Jeremy and his family to the Kansas City Chiefs organization. Anytime you can get a player like this is very rare.
I'm very excited to be here. I'm reunited with Coach Reed and you know, some of the guys are on the staff in Philadelphia, which is, you know, something I, you know, I never dreamed of that could have happened. And, you know, the fact that I'm in this situation is pretty awesome.
I think when he came into the NFL, he was more of a slot guy, a move guy. Now he's a guy you can line up outside the numbers, and he can take on a top cornerback and make plays for you.
Looking deep for Macklin, who races and has it. Touchdown, the ball! He is going deep down the middle, and it is caught. And in for a touchdown goes Jeremy Macklin.
He's had double-digit touchdowns multiple years in his career. He's coming off a huge year. We had over 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns in Philadelphia.
He had two or three plays where he caught the ball in the middle of the field, turned and took off. And scored, and I think those are the kind of plays when I look at number one receivers, that's how they separate themselves. The toughness, the speed, you know, the route running, the smarts, all those things he has.
You have to respect Jeremy Macklin. You know, the first time you go to sleep on this guy, either he'll burn you or the offense will burn you.
Touchdown, Jeremy Macklin!
You know, he's multifaceted. He's able to stretch the field. He's a very crisp route runner. He's got good hands.
Bubble screen, and running in for the touchdown is Jeremy Macklin.
I think when you play offense in the NFL, you have to be able to frighten defenses. So just being out there, knowing you can make a play with him is huge. You're going to see the middle of the field open up for guys like Travis Kelce, DeAnthony Thomas. You've seen this offense use running backs in the passing game a lot. It creates more and more matchup opportunities.
I say it's very rare to get a man of this quality as a person at the age of 26 who has a seamless transition into a system that he's familiar with.
Being assimilated into the culture of the team that they've built over the last 2 years, it's going to be very easy for Jeremy Macklin because he understands what's going to be asked of him and what will be required as a number one wide receiver.
I think Jeremy's going to be a guy that's going to bring the intangibles to where he's going to be a leader, but he's also going to be willing to help each and every one of these guys become what they're capable of as a receiver in this system.
Some players just are very fine, just kind of doing their own thing, showing up and going home. I think he's the kind of guy who wants to be part of a family. And to be honest with you, I think it's a big reason why he's here.
You didn't have to wait until late April to draft somebody of this stature and wait for him to develop 2 years later.
I think it was a great addition for the offense. You don't want to spend the 2 years that it often takes a lot of players to learn that system if you're trying to win playoff games now. So I think overall, you couldn't ask for a better fit in Kansas City than Jeremy Macklin, a wide receiver.
Moving forward, who do you think the Chiefs are going to take here?
With the 18th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Marcus Peters.
We're excited about adding him into an already explosive defense. You know, honest with you, I felt he was the best corner along with Dorse. Felt he was the best corner in this draft.
We feel we got a really quality player here. I think he has probably got the best ball skills of any defensive back in this draft. I think he's got an incredible feel for the game of football. As one very famous defensive coordinator told me, he's the best defensive back in the last 4 years.
It just felt like home. It was just a wonderful bond that I felt just like the one I had at UW. Back in high school, so it felt like home.
The Kansas City Chiefs select, right up the road, Mitch Morse, center from Missouri.
I like the way he plays football, and I think the coaches at Missouri have done a really nice job in developing him as he comes along. And, you know, he started at left tackle, he's played right tackle, he's played center, and he's played guard. He had a great interview with us in the 60-player meeting. We also had a chance to talk with him in his pro day. But his versatility, his athleticism, his smarts, and his toughness are really good qualities to have.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Chris Conley, wide receiver, Georgia.
He's got vertical speed. He can go deep. He really does have some nice feet in terms of running after the catch and making guys avoid. He's got enough size to break the arm tackle. Really, what helps is when you're making that transition from the college to the pros, you're throwing this huge playbook. He's really sharp kid, so he's going to pick the playbook up. He's got the athletic skills to just kind of blend right in.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Steven Nelson.
I like every time he steps onto the football field, he's ready to play. And he's ready to do anything that you ask him to do, either it be special teams, either it be he's up for the challenge. He takes great pride in how fiercely he plays the game. He's just a really good competitor. These guys are top-notch right here.
Days 1 and 2 put a wrap on it, 2015 NFL Draft. And now we enter day 3.
Chiefs, you're on the clock. Let's catch their pick.
Kansas City select Romeo Wilson, linebacker.
Bottom line, what we look for in a linebacker is, number one, you got to be productive. You got to make plays. You know, does he have the physical tools to, to strike guys? Does he have enough range and coverage ability to play in coverage? You look for all those things, and this guy's done that at a high level.
The Kansas City Chiefs select DJ Alexander, linebacker, Oregon State.
You know, I just thought he was an explosive athlete. Could really help us both at inside backer and on special teams as well. This kid's got outstanding speed. You know, he's got some rare physical traits, just getting from point A to point B on the field.
James O'Shaughnessy. With a name like that, he's got to be good.
What jumps out is he's got some speed and big playability, and he averaged 18 yards a catch. Really good hands. Very competitive, very tough kid. Got some run after the catch instincts too. This dude's just 100 miles an hour. Competitive, tough dude.
I thought Kansas City did a really nice job. I think they had one of the better drafts in the NFL.
Thanks for joining us back on the show. BJ and I have enjoyed taking you up to, through, and now following this 2015 NFL draft. And I personally can't wait to catch up with you as things gear up for training camp.
Pete, I think the offseason for us is over. The players might not play till September, but we've got our hands full right now with everything that you guys are reading at kcchiefs.com. But it's exciting to have the players back. I know the coaches are excited to have the players back. Last week, we started phase 2 of offseason conditioning, which means that the players can get individual instruction from their positional coaches. And phase 3 begins on May 25th. Those are organized team activities, or OTAs, begin then. That's when they can do teamwork. They just can't do any live contact. But in any case, I'm excited for training camp, and it's going to be exciting to cover this team leading up to St. Joe.
I'm sure training camp will be here before you know it. Trust me. KCChiefs.com, until that time, will be your place to stay updated on all Chiefs news throughout OTAs. And we'll return with the preseason installment of Blueprint beginning before the team heads up to training camp. Keep coming back to the site to check for more information on that. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Blueprint. We'll see you next time.